Down to Business with Bobby Kerr on News Talk.
Sponsored by Bank of Ireland.
Now, for this week's industry review, we're talking about the one-stop shops for one of the nation's favourite pastimes, and that's the garden centre. We'll be asking the operators how they're adapting to changing tastes and indeed staffing challenges. Delighted to be joined by three guests this morning. Oliver Shurman is the owner of Mount Venus Nursery out there in the Dublin Hills of Dublin 16. Barry Doyle joins us from Carlow, the CEO of Arboretum. And Paul Harvey of Windy Ridge out there in Sallynoggin, he also joins us. You're all very welcome, lads. Thanks for joining us this morning. Barry, we might start with you, CEO of Arboretum. I know the business was started by your parents. Maybe you'd give us an overview of what you do down there. And I know you have a number of branches, so tell us about your business if you would.
Yeah, so the business started by Rachel and Frank, mum and dad, 49 years ago. So we're heading for 50 years, early part of next year. Big milestone for us as a company.
Brilliant.
Started in an up and over garage door by Rachel, who worked from that up and over garage door, built it with Frank joining the business. Moved a couple of times in sites and stuff to the 11-acre site that we are on in Loughlin Bridge in Carlow now. We subsequently we purchased the National Garden Exhibition Centre in Kilquade and Wicklow, which we've developed in the a big development in the last 2 years. But we've been ongoing developments over the last 10 years, but in the last two we've done a major development to just short of 5 million spend on the site here in Kilquade. And then our third site is in Urban Green, which Arboretum Green as we call it, in Parnell Street in Dublin, which is a concept store of indoor house plants and coffee, and it's just above Chapters Bookstore in Dublin City Centre.
So that's some enterprise. We'll come back to you in a second, Barry. Let's talk to Oliver Shurman, owner of the Mount Venus Nurseries. Oliver, you're very welcome to the programme. You were on with us before. Remind us of your great business, if you would.
Well, it's a great business. It's a nursery, a traditional nursery. And so in a nursery, different to a garden centre, we grow plants. We produce them. We grow stock plants, we trial plants, and maybe we select plants and we offer them to the public. So we have a huge range of plants. It's all about plants. And you're looking at probably around 2,500 different species on offer, which is quite an operation to keep going. I mean, we wouldn't be selling hundreds or 500 of each. It's more the speciality that we sell.
And would I be right in saying that would garden centres be buying off you? Is that a model that you execute?
No. Okay. No, it wouldn't be viable. I mean, garden centres have to think practically. Plants have to arrive labelled. They have to be in super nick. I'm not saying that our plants are not in super nick, but it's not about the presentation of the plants. It's about to have a live garden-worthy plant, which will survive.
Okay. Now, your experience, 25-odd years in Germany, you talk about the new perennial movement. Tell me about that.
Well, the new perennial movement is really based on the fact that even just after the war, there were people like Karl Förster, a very well-known gardener, who introduced a lot of wild character plants like ferns, grasses, and selections from native plants, and brought these and incorporated them in his garden design and into the palette of plants that we know today. And from that, the prairie style evolved, which is to understand all the different habitats and to bring plants together from all different parts of the world and relocate them in the proper habitat. So if you've got, for example, a roundabout, which is quite an extreme location. It can be very dry, it can be windy, and it will not be maintained in the same way. Planting up a proper prairie-style planting means that you have all these different layers of plants and this whole plant community doing all sorts of different things over a very long period, which results in relative low maintenance.
Okay, so it's the appropriate plant relative to the situation.
Yes.
Okay, good job. Let's talk to Paul Harvey of Windy Ridge. Out there in Sallynoggin, run with your brother, started by your great-aunt, is that right?
Yeah.
By your aunt.
Great-grand-aunt.
Great-grand-aunt, even better.
Yeah.
Tell us about the business. I know it well.
So it was created in 1962 by my great-grand-aunt Sheila Harvey, so she had red hair. We still have the accounts from it, and there was eggs sold, and she was one of the first person to propagate geraniums. So she would originally be done what Oliver is doing now. She would have propagated her own stuff, divided everything. She would have had beds and stuff like that. So she was a great lady. She was renowned and one of the first ladies to put in glass houses and grow tomatoes and grow lettuces and all that kind of stuff. And then unfortunately she had no children, so she left it to the family, and then my uncle went in for a number of years and he looked after the place and he took it on a bit. And then I think there was a couple of negotiations and they were to sell it for property, and thankfully it was never sold. And then I came out of Pricewaterhouse, the accountancy firm, and my brother had just come back from Australia and he'd done landscape design. So the two skills together sort of brought a unique prospect. And
what a dream team, an accountant and a landscaper.
And we work incredibly well because we've different skill sets, and he certainly doesn't get involved upstairs in the computer stuff. And I think he has a nicer time because of that. But I think we make an amazing team, and we've built an amazing team around us, and we've really focused on plants. So we sort of travelled around, we saw all these garden centres. A lot of them were outside the cities because all the land had been sold off, and we knew if we really concentrated on plants and were really focused on that, we could create something very special that the market really were craving for, because there wasn't something out there that was doing what we were doing in terms of giving the variety. A lot of garden centers are stuck onto the side of hardwares, and it's okay, there's a couple of plants in season, but the range that we offer is something very different.
Barry, back to you. Can I ask you about the business where sort of how much is horticulture and how much is retail, or is it a blend of both?
Yeah, it's a blend of both. So it's about a third, and a third of plants, a third of the retail, and that is a little bit of gardening retail, as in furniture, barbecue, and the last third being our cafe, because you know our sites are very much destination sites, and the cafe is a big part of dragging people to the site. But you know, Rachel's a horticulturalist, I'm a horticulturalist, so a little bit like Paul and Justin, you know, they're Fergal and myself are very different. Fergal is more the commercial side, and the accountancy side, and I'm more the horticulturalist. Yeah. So it works that way. But Rachel has always had a mantra that you walk into plants and you know you're in a garden center. We don't want it to be a case that, you know, you're walking into a gift shop and there's a hardware and there's a garden center bolted onto the back of it. Plants is our focus. We've the gardens in Kilquaid, we've the gardens in Carlow. So it's very much like Paul has said, you know, it's very much a focus for us is the plant side. But yet we do need the seasonality, to take seasonality out of the equation a little bit, which, you know, the other offerings that we bring,
you
know,
gives you more balance and turnover and that kind of thing.
Christmas shop is a big part to play, and you know, our cafe really does drag in, you know, the footfall on a daily basis, thankfully.
Yeah. Oliver, can I ask you about, you know, people working in your business? Is it hard to get them? Is it hard to keep them? Is there a physicality about it that some people maybe might shy away from? What's your experience around the labour force and keeping them, you know, happy, productive, and finding plenty of them?
Well, the thing is that they have to share the same kind of enthusiasm as we do, and they have to develop this. And because you're, as a horticulturist or a gardener in a garden centre or a nursery like ours, it's labour intensive, and the wages aren't, you can't compare them to the wages that they get in pharmaceutical or in other large companies nowadays. So that is the difficult thing, especially being so close to Dublin. Obviously, accommodation is the main factor.
Yeah.
How do you cope with that? And I mean, Paul was just telling me that they're actually building a house for accommodation for their workers, which is ideal. And we are also developing an area where we can at least house students, because I think the educational part has to be addressed, that we need to make this to make people understand that it's actually an absolutely wonderful profession that we're doing. I mean, you do it in your pastime. It's our profession. We go out in the garden in the morning and we're out there all day. I mean, it drives us.
Yeah,
no,
sure.
It's not like
coming into an office or whatever. No, I mean, I'm not gonna run you down here in this place, but you got me in here. But I'm looking forward to going out. But that's there is a huge difficulty, and we have to do an awful lot more to make it a more attractive kind of profession. I mean, people are running. Are spending time in offices. They're not moving. They're running around the blocks multiple times, looking at their watches, how much weight they've lost or how much more exercise they need. I mean, as a gardener, you get all that for free, you know, and you do it and you're doing your time and you're actually paid for it. So, well, it's a win-win, isn't it?
What's not to like, as you say?
Yeah.
Tell me this, the seasonality of the business, does that pose, you talked about students and I suppose supplementary labour, that's obviously a way that works if it is a seasonal business, that you can't maintain the full level of fixed costs around labour 12 months a year. So how do you deal with that?
Well, we're working on that because, I mean, as a nursery, we really have that window of, say, end of October all the way through to February that we're not making any business. We can't really employ people properly. So we're working on how to make it more viable. We do not want to go down the route of selling Christmas decorations or anything like that because we do need the break. Yeah. Ideally is if the horticulturists, when the sun shines and the days are long, they work.
Yeah.
And then they can be paid through the whole winter.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a good way, and they could take off and go to Thailand, God knows where.
Yeah, okay. Know. So you embrace the seasonality of it.
Yeah.
For that reason.
Yeah.
What about you, Paul, out in Windy Ridge? Again, I was interested in the accountant in you talking about the seasonal slide of sales, given that peak months been March, April, May, June, and then a sort of a steady lowering of sales getting up to Christmas. But that's just, you live with that, don't you? That's just the way the business works.
Yeah, it's a bit like the seasons. Every year you think maybe it's going to come on a bit longer. March is the real funny one. Some years you get March, some years you don't, because March can be snowing or it can be 17 degrees. So it's incredible, that difference. You can be up 50% in March or down 50% in March. May you generally get, because it's the consistent one, it's the busiest one of all. But it is tough. We get a couple of students from the BOTS most years, so two or three, and then we get some foreign students over, and that helps massively. But it's really hard to employ someone for 2 months and then to tell them to shag off. And then we'll obviously have to work 6 days a week for those 3 months that are really, really busy, and a lot of our staff would do the same, which is great. And then obviously in January, I asked as many to take holidays as they possibly can or go off or go somewhere, but they don't always want to. So it is tough.
January is the best month for holidays. You miss nothing and no one misses you.
Yeah, true. But the only problem is to get sun. I think people have to go quite far and that can be difficult.
Barry, back to you in terms of you're talking there about the mix and the spread of the business, serious investment as well made in more recently in Kilquade and indeed in Parnell Street. When you talk about the non-gardening things, is that where you have most of your problems?
I wouldn't say that. I'm here.
Challenges. Let's call them challenges.
I suppose the other side comes a bit more naturally to me. And, you know, I think as horticulturalists, and the lads have just said, you know, I think garden centres and nurseries were very nimble. You know, when challenges come up, we've been adjusting to seasons for decades, and we get used to it. And that's the way it comes. With regard to the cafes and that, yeah, we have to bring in our expertise, and that's it. It's not,
yeah,
you know, you have to bring in and know where your limits are. You know, I've become an expert on lots of things when it comes to the cafe, but it's more from making mistakes than it is anything else. And, you know, I'd be the first to admit it, but that's where we pull in expertise.
Well, you said it yourself with the challenges around weather. You know, you could have a big day or a nothing day. And gearing up or down for that is challenging.
It is. And, you know, I suppose it's always a challenge with any team, and keeping everyone motivated. This spring was a challenge in itself because, you know, we were up against the spring of last year. That was a phenomenal weather season. And, you know, you're keeping the team motivated, saying, guys, we're going to get this patch. And, you know, we've had a couple of really good weeks since over the June Bank Holiday weekend. There was brilliant for the last 2 weeks of May. And that was really positive to, you know, because you're keeping the team motivated, saying, here, we're going to get this purple patch, and we always do a weather that gets everybody out gardening and spending time in the garden.
Oliver, I suppose, do we have a different relationship with our gardens since COVID? Was there a change, like a profound change then, where everybody embraced the outside, we valued what we had in terms of the importance of it, the whole thing now around it being a social space within the family home, garden parties, that kind of thing. Do you think about those kind of things in relation to the business?
Well, we do, and it has been there has been a serious change. I mean, okay, I mean, a lot of things where you thought we were going to improve after COVID, and people are going to rethink, it went back into default.
Sure.
They really didn't. But the garden is still very become a really important and valuable space. It's very much the space looking out from, I always say when I'm designing gardens and you're looking out from your house, the windows have to be like picture frames.
Sure.
And what you plant outside has to be a picture. So there's things that people are understanding that plants actually bring in such a dynamic, and you watch them grow, and every moment is just so different. Every moment in a garden is unique. You'll never have the same moment again.
Sure.
I mean, and that turns it into something so special. I mean, you can watch something on YouTube and you can flick it back and you can watch it again, but you can't do that in the garden.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so unique, and people are starting to value this.
Is bloom important in terms of, I suppose, general consumer awareness of the love of the garden?
Well, if I said it wasn't important, I'd be in trouble after doing it for 20 years. No, bloom is incredibly important.
Okay.
I mean, we had a garden in bloom now. It was sponsored by the European Commission, and it was a garden only plants. It was a woodland garden. Bloom was very hot this year, and you went into this woodland and it was all water in the centre.
Beautiful.
And it was an atmosphere. They went into, and they we had up to, I think, 9 to 10,000 people going through our garden on a daily basis.
Wow.
And it was just amazing how they enjoyed it. So Bloom is a real joyful show, inviting people from all over the country, bringing them together. I mean, every little backward part.
Great.
So it is important.
Same question to you, Paul, in terms of our use of the garden now and our love of our own outdoor space and, you know, the integration and importance of an integrated garden within the home.
Yeah, I just think the reward you get from a garden is pretty amazing. The satisfaction of achieving something. Like even, like you grew up and your dad would go out and cut the hedge, and just even that break and that satisfaction. And it's something you really, the sense of achievement. It's like, I don't know what a builder or a carpenter gets. And that satisfaction of getting something done is just amazing. And it's outdoor, it gets you away from a screen. And I really think people need interaction, but they also need a time of solitude. And like just to get their mind off something, and really like what you get back from a garden is so amazing. Like it just year after year comes back, the likes of herbaceous plants, the likes of shrubs, they bloom, they get bigger, they change, they grow. It's just, I think it just gives so much back. And it's just, I think people, there's just too many people scared about it. Like you can't, like people always think, oh, I can get this wrong and everything dies on me. But just start and you'll see that most things aren't that difficult to grow. Get them in decent ground. Just don't plant them near like massive trees, and then most things will grow.
And subtly you will promote the part of your business that is the sale of barbecues, etc., by running courses. Mm-hmm. By how important is all that sort of soft stuff around the edges of the business?
It's important. Like 55% of our business is still plants, which is huge compared to most. Like that's important. Like we set up a learning as you come in, and we do a gardening's beginner's class, and every year it sells out. Roisin, who does it, is amazing, and she runs about 8 courses. And it's, we've tried to do some more advanced classes, but people just want the beginner class. They want to know the basics. They want 6 weeks, and they want to go through each one. They want to go through shrubs, herbaceous, trees, grow your own, and a bit of structure and stuff. And they just want to get started. And that sort of gives us that knowledge base, and people can trust you then, because they've come, they've seen one of the staff give the course, they know what they're talking about. And then I think from that, then they can get more adventurous. And I think it's a repeat. It's like once you get into it, then you get more and more.
You can also see the tangible results of your endeavors. If you look out the window, if you've planted something and it works or it grows.
And it's an addictive thing, like, and it's a good addiction.
Barry, in terms of what we're just talking about there, the soft stuff around people coming to barbecue courses, horticultural classes, all that kind of, I suppose, non-core stuff, but how important is it towards driving sales?
Yeah, it's hugely important. You know, like, you know, we've had a huge increase in the younger people gardening since COVID, and we're seeing it more so even in the last while, where people are spending time with you know, socializing, and I think the social element of the Irish culture has probably changed a lot in the last couple of months. The pub culture probably not as strong as it was one time, and people are spending time in their gardens. And when they spend time in the garden, like the lad said, they'll invest in their gardens. They'll make them look beautiful, and they'll be proud of the space that they've created. And you know, I think it's become a huge part of the new Irish culture in spending more time in the garden. It's lovely to see young people coming into a garden centre now. It's become a family day out, and you know, you see the generations of people coming in, and like, you know, we customers coming in, and I remember them coming in, you know, holding hands with their parents, and as they came in, and now they're coming in after buying their first home, and they're starting to invest in it, and it is then an ancillary products, then the furniture, the barbecue, it all leads on, but you know, they start with the basics, you know, and you know, encourage anyone to get you know, talking to some of the team, you know, get some tips off of them, you know, horticulturists, you know, we've been number of them throughout all of our stores, and as the lads have in their business, like, use the expertise, because you know, people don't know everything when it comes to horticulture. It can be quite daunting at times, but when you get a little bit of direction on it, you know, get the basis right, and then all the little add-ons, that'll come easy, you know, once people get the right start.
Here to help, as they say, here to help. I want to thank my guests, Oliver Sherman from Mount Venus Nurseries, Barry Doyle, the CEO of Arboretum, and Paul Harvey of Windy Ridge Garden Centre. Thanks for an enlightened discussion, which I thoroughly enjoyed.
Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Sponsored by Bank of Ireland.
Saturday morning at 8. News Talk. Conversation that counts.